Let us pray.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Revelation, pronounced in the singular Revelation, not Revelations, is an amazing book of comfort and victory in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is not about terrifying you. It is about assuring you that you are safe and victorious over sin and death and the power of the devil through Jesus Christ, who has conquered all of these and all that stands against God and all that stands against his precious people, all of you baptized into his name. This basic goal to put forth Revelation's beauty, simplicity, and great encouragement, which attributes, streaming from the glorious depictions of Christ, have been the basis for this series, this particular Revelation series, the season of Easter, which comes to a close this morning. One of the most common and frequent complaints and concerns of our souls is to contemplate the state of our nation and the state of our world. It is enough if you choose to dwell on it, and I'm not joking, to either lead you to contemplate depression or perhaps even insanity. The state of our economy, we can be myopic and think things are better as housing prices go up again, while we ignore the mind-boggling national debt which we have incurred along the way, is extremely distressing. Some recent headlines read simply, "Will the class of 2013 be able to find jobs?" Or you can consider the threat of terrorists, which has now invaded our great nation. Or you can consider the state of our culture's moral bankruptcy. Our electronic media devices are unfortunately now also portals for influences that can quite simply destroy a person's soul. A parent who does not care what their children do with such devices is a foolish parent indeed. Still, I've just mentioned the tip of the iceberg, which figure of speech reminds me of the condition of our polar ice caps. Or consider astronomy and the realization that Earth's preservation is quite simply astounding, because a single asteroid could make for a very, very bad day for us all. When we come back to when my wife and I and kids came back to California, my daughter in Chicago started poking fun at me when she learned that I had purchased some basic earthquake supplies. I had done the same thing in Texas in the face of a couple of hurricanes, and those supplies paid off, by the way. She told me, however, in so many words, that the next big one in California, which would be so big, would make my earthquake supplies seem quite superfluous. It was quite the cheery conversation. I know she meant well. I have to admit, however, that when I attended the last Higher Things conference, which was here in Irvine at CUI, our own Dr. Mueller was the main speaker, and he comforted all of us there with the thought that, who says California will fall into the Pacific Ocean? Maybe it will be the rest of the country to the east of us, which will do wonders for our property values. We've got to laugh when taking in all the causes for human anxiety, or it can just seem to get overwhelming. But as unsettling as these are, there is a greater problem when we hear the complaining and the moaning and the groaning. It is when, in the midst of the common and frequent complaints, it is implied that somehow what this means is that we Christians in the kingdom, or even worse, that God himself is losing. It is implied that things have finally gotten so much out of control that there is this suggestion that perhaps things are out of the Lord's control. All of a sudden, we jettison the Lord's teaching that the faithful do not walk by sight, but walk by faith. I am now describing our sin. Revelation 22 warns that those who reject God's word by adding to his words or by taking away from his words are associated with those described as dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. These are not included in the Revelation 22 picture of those who are in the heavenly paradise. Now, this sounds like a very religious thing to say, but unfortunately, as simple as it may seem, oftentimes flies over the heads of people. Let me try to translate. If we lose the word of Christ, which flows from the Old Testament and the New Testament, associated with the number 12 in Revelation, think 12 tribes and 12 apostles, of course, then we lose our source of light and life. Without the word of Christ, we are overwhelmed and we are overcome by the darkness and sin of our own flesh and the evil influences which come upon us. Even while we must also endure the incessant attacks of the evil one. But hear this description of the Christian life. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There is only one response that is appropriate from the Christian in the face of the threat. It is not despair. It is not moaning and groaning about how bad things are getting. Throw that record away. It's of no use to you. It's a waste of energy. You see? It is turning away from death. It is turning to Christ. It is living in repentance. It is returning to faith. It is turning from sin and turning to the Lord who forgives, and then in true repentance we are led to follow him, not the world, not our flesh. We must face and confess our sin. We treat the word of Christ as less than vital. That's where it all begins, with our worrying and our complaining. That's the first step. We turn away from Christ's word. We pay more attention to the evening news than we do to the 66 books of the sacred canon. We thirst and we yearn for so many other things. We prefer things that bring worry, and even worse, things that bring death, as insane as that sounds. Instead of seeking and longing for the word and longing for the sacrament, we embrace the world's priorities. We embrace the world's loves and the fears and the worries of the world. And when we do, we begin to emulate the world and look like the world. We start becoming like the world. Like wandering and thirsty dogs that are running around lost from their masters, who can only devour the trash of the world because they've left the good food from their master's table. We become desperate, and before we know it, we can begin to participate in the darkness of this world. Such a soul forsakes faith. Such a soul forsakes God. This should make us very concerned, because our sin proves that we practice idolatry, which means simply to love other things more than God, and that we do not belong to this picture of the heavenly paradise. What is there to do? By the grace of God, through his word alone, we must change our thinking, or better said, let's confess the purity of our Lutheran doctrine from God's word. Pray that the Lord changes our thinking through the word and sacrament which give us Jesus. Our way of approaching everything must be changed. We must repent. The great Lutheran systematician Francis Pieper wrote in his essay, What is Christianity? The following. The devil endures to mislead man either utterly to despise the atonement of Christ or to attempt to establish his own righteousness, as a result of which Christ's reconciliation is forfeited. The consequence is that God must punish the world with dreadful plagues, wars, floods, earthquakes, and other frightful calamities to remind man for what purpose the earth still stands. Namely, that man might repent and by faith accept the reconciliation of God which Christ has effected. A hard teaching, but true. The great irony which occurs when someone complains about the tumult while insinuating that God is not in control is that they are complaining about the very sign that proves that God is in control, as we witness the fulfillment of his prophetic prediction. Furthermore, the Lord reveals to us in his word why this tumult occurs to begin with. We need to go back to the story in Genesis. God put us, at least our first parents, in Eden. The word Eden means pleasure. When the Old Testament was being translated into Greek, the word garden was given a word that is the source of our word for paradise. This garden of pleasure, this paradise of pleasure, was our first home. It depicts a king's forest, a gorgeous park, an orchard that is a garden with everything you could need or want. In this garden, what ensured that you had all things good was the tree of life. That is, Revelation is simply going back to Genesis. The terminology used in that book and in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel as well. Interestingly, the word tree in Revelation appears to be in the collective sense. This is consistent with Ezekiel, who also describes heaven for us. Check this out. This is Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Let's read about heaven, top of page 15. Let's read together. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food and their leaves for healing. In other words, these sources of life were everywhere and they were super abundant. Remember that in the Genesis account, the Lord speaks of two particular trees. One was the tree of life, the other was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It may be that this tree of life permeated the garden. God's gift of life was everywhere in this paradise forest. But sin is so insane, it is so chaotic and dark, that sin rejects life. How often do we see the symptom of sin, which, for example, rejects the unborn or the lives of the innocent in violent and heinous crimes? When humanity rejects God, then humanity rejects life. In the garden, the Lord simply recognized man's choice for death over life, so that they had to leave paradise with its tree of life. They could no longer care for the garden full of life because they chose to embrace life's antithesis. The tumult, the suffering, and the pain that we know on account of our sin is there because we have rejected and lost the tree of life. But the Lord never stopped being our loving and our merciful Lord. He immediately had every intention to save us. And he acted upon that intention to save you and me without hesitation. He found a way to keep the tree of life in play. He found a way to keep you connected to the tree of life. The Lord has always intended to restore you to paradise, child of God. And this is what he has in store for you. This is what he wants you to yearn for and to look forward to, because he's your gracious God. Through the middle of the street of the city, You're the city, by the way. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with the 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God, in His grace, has always intended to heal you. God, in His grace, has always intended to keep you connected to the tree. He just had to do something about your sin. The word for tree as used in Revelation is not technically the word for a tree, but stocks or wood. It's easy to see how the collective can apply. The Greek word is fun to say. It's the word zoulon. Now, here's where things get pretty awesome. This word is the very word used to reference another tree, namely the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same word used for the tree of life in Revelation. Acts 5:30. Let's read this together. Don't read Zulon in brackets, but you'll see where it's represented. Let's read these scriptures together. Acts 5:30, we read together. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die and live to righteousness. How has the Lord kept you connected to the tree of life? Through Christ, who went to the Zulon, and through his shed blood to cover and pay for your sins, he brought life and immortality to light. That is to say, the true tree of life, the source of life, is Jesus Christ himself. You're the city. The tree of life, Jesus, is all around you. He is the way, the truth, and the life, who reconnected you to life through another wood, another tree, another Zulon that has become your forgiveness and your life. Because on that tree, your sins were washed away. The sin which expelled us from the first paradise has been washed away. The doors of the new paradise are now open to forgiven sinners, like it was to the thief on the cross who prayed to the Lord right before he died. And the Lord Jesus said, truly I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise. Through the Zulon of Jesus, paradise is yours once again. You're back in business. You have the tree of life again in your life. The revelation vision of paradise, therefore, belongs to all who trust in Jesus. That's you. Let's read Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. The ancient church father Primasius wrote, thus in a similar manner he promises the same reward, saying that they might have power over the tree of life. However, the tree of life is Christ, for we read, wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. That's in Proverbs. We must not think, however, that they who have this power are more powerful than Christ. For a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Therefore, when it says here, over the tree of life, he means that their strength consists in the tree of life, that is, in the Lord Christ. The tree of life is yours again. Paradise is restored to you. In heaven there is a river and fruit from the tree of life. And to keep this garden of pleasure in your possession, the Lord Jesus has set up a temporary connection between himself and you. Trees always have water around. Your baptism into Christ is your water. Trees bear fruit. Holy Communion is your fruit, the leaves of eternal life which God gives to you every time you partake of it. Stay connected to these, and when the day comes when you leave this world full of tumult, you will enter the paradise of God where the tree of life will surround you and fill you with healing for eternity. It has already begun, because the sin which once kept you out has been removed by Jesus, who is in you, who is before you, who surrounds you with his eternal life. In him, he gives you the right to himself. He gives you the right to the tree of life. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand for the prayer of the church.